flush behind the membrane.
Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here for this one.
We are skipping the usual pleasantries today because we are dropping you straight into the middle of an ancient microscopic war zone.
A literal war zone, yeah.
And when we say ancient, we are talking about a brutal, unrelenting arms race that has been raging under the radar for literally billions of years.
It's the endless battle between bacteria and the viruses that hunt them.
Right, the phages. Now, if you follow biology, even casually, you already know bacteria are not just sitting ducks waiting to be infected.
Right, they have their own sophisticated immune systems.
Exactly. But how could a single new discovery completely dismantle our conventional understanding of how those microscopic immune systems actually operate?
That is the big question today.
What really happens when a bacterium stops relying on complex genetic recognition and just uses brute force spatial boundaries?
It completely rewrites the rules of cellular defense.
It really does. So today we celebrate the work of Daniela Saxton and a brilliant team of researchers at MIT who have advanced our understanding of bacterial immunity in a huge way.
It is a phenomenal piece of literature. They published this in Nature back in 2026.
And what this team discovered forces a complete rethink of the fundamental rules of engagement at the cellular level.
We are looking at an entirely new paradigm of biological defense.
Our mission for this deep dive is to unpack a brand new, incredibly elegant bacterial defense system that the researchers have dubbed SNIPE.
SNIPE.
Right. And to appreciate why SNIPE is making such huge waves, you have to consider how we traditionally picture immune systems.
Usually you think of them as molecular detectives.
Right, relying on specific identification, like you probably know about CRISPR. It uses RNA guides, like a database, to spot a specific invader.
Or restriction enzymes.
Yeah, which act like molecular bouncers checking for chemical modifications. If a piece of DNA doesn't have the right methyl groups attached, it gets chopped up.
But SNIPE entirely ignores those rules.
Completely ignores them. It doesn't look for specific sequences. It doesn't check for chemical tags. It uses something entirely different.
Real estate.
Yes, real estate. It distinguishes friend from foe purely through physical spatial organization. Okay, let's unpack this. How on earth does a bacterium tell its own genome apart from viral DNA based purely on location?
That is the million-dollar question in immunology. Whether you are talking about human T cells or a single-celled bacterium.
The core issue.
Right. The absolute most critical problem any immune system faces is the problem of self versus non-self.
Because you have to be careful.
Exactly. Think about the logistics of what an immune system is actually doing. You are designing a weapon lethal enough to instantly destroy an invading virus.
But you have to ensure that weapon never accidentally misfires.
And destroys your own cellular machinery. If your primary defense system is essentially a pair of molecular scissors, you have to be absolutely certain you are cutting the right genetic threads.
Because an accidental snip to your own bacterial chromosome is, well, it's game over.
You've just triggered an autoimmune collapse.
Precisely the danger. And the current paradigms for how bacteria solve this, like we pointed out with CRISPR and restriction modification, they rely heavily on complex recognition.
They need to read the DNA in some capacity.
Right.
What's fascinating here is that the MIT researchers investigated a completely different evolutionary strategy.
A physical one.
Yeah. What if the key to identifying an invader isn't what the DNA looks like, but the literal door it uses to get inside the cell?
Just recognizing foreign DNA simply based on where it crosses the cellular boundary.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the star of today's deep dive, SNIPE.
Surface-associated nuclease-inhibiting phage entry.
Let's look at the architecture of this thing because it's wild. The researchers use the deep learning tool AlphaFold 3 to predict the three-dimensional structure of this protein.
A great use of modern tech.
Totally. Could you walk us through how this molecule is actually built to act as a spatial guard?
I'd be glad to, because the structure is what makes the whole mechanism possible. SNIPE is essentially built in three distinct parts or domains arrayed in a very specific line.
Kind of like a guard at a gate.
Right. At the very front, you have the transmembrane domain. Think of this as a heavy-duty anchor.
It buries itself firmly into the inner membrane of the bacteria.
Yes, moving inward, the middle section is called the DUF40SORI1 domain.
I always love the acronym DUF in biology.
Domain of unknown function.
Right. It literally means scientists essentially have to say, we know it's there, but we have absolutely no idea what it does.
That's the running joke in structural biology. Yeah. But thanks to this paper, that domain is no longer an unknown.
They figured it out.
They mapped the electrostatic surfaces of this middle section and discovered it is highly positively charged.
That is a crucial detail because DNA is inherently negatively charged.
Exactly. So this middle domain acts like a pair of gripping hands, perfectly calibrated to grab onto any DNA strand that passes by.
And finally, at the very end of the protein extending into the cell, you have the GIYYIG nuclease domain.
The dangerous part.
Right. And for you listening, a nuclease is simply an enzyme that cleaves the phosphodiester bonds of nucleic acids.
These are the lethal scissors.
That's the weapon. So if you picture the entire setup, you have the anchor firmly stuck in the inner membrane, holding the entire protein in place.
Then the gripping hands and the lethal scissors hang out just inside the cell, suspended in the cytoplasm.
They just sit there silently waiting in the dark for a phage to land on the outside of the bacterium and inject its viral DNA through the membrane.
If you're listening to this and thinking that sounds like a massive biological risk, you're exactly right.
Because the cytoplasm of a bacterium isn't a vast empty warehouse.
Not at all. The bacterium's own DNA is crammed in there, constantly shifting, unwinding, replicating, and physically pressing up against that inner membrane all the time.
Which leads to a terrifying question if you're the host cell. If SIPE is just permanently stationed on the membrane with exposed lethal DNA scissors, why doesn't it accidentally bump into and chop up the bacterium's own genome?
The researchers had the exact same thought.
And
to figure it out, they performed what you might think of as a deliberate sabotage experiment.
Oops, experiment.
Yeah, they wanted to test the importance of that transmembrane anchor. So they genetically engineered a mutant version of the SNIPE protein that lacked the anchor domain entirely.
They simply deleted it.
Without that anchor, this mutated SNIPE couldn't tie itself to the inner membrane. It was just floating freely in the cytoplasm.
So they essentially unchained the guard dog.
And it was a total catastrophe for the bacteria. The unmoored SNIPE protein went completely rogue.
It immediately started shredding the host bacterium's own genome, causing massive toxicity and rapid cell death.
Total disaster.
But how did they actually visualize that happening? Because you can't exactly look through a standard microscope and see a single protein cutting a single strand of DNA.
No, you can't. They used a brilliant molecular tool to track the carnage. It's a fluorescent marker called GAM-GFP that essentially acts like a microscopic emergency flare.
Okay.
This specific marker is designed to physically bind only to the broken raw ends of double-stranded DNA. And when it binds, it lights up bright green.
So when they unleashed the unanchored SNIPE inside the cell, the entire interior of the bacteria suddenly lit up with these green flares.
It was definitive proof that the SNIPE scissors were fully active and aggressively chopping the host to pieces.
That proves the anchor isn't just a convenient place for the protein to stand. The anchor is the entire foundation for distinguishing self from non-self.
As long as the scissors are securely bolted to the wall, the host's own DNA is safe.
But that raises another tricky troubleshooting question. What if the host's DNA accidentally brushes against the scissors while they are bolted to the wall?
It's the crowded cell. Collisions are inevitable.
Right.
The MIT team anticipated that exact critique. They ran a beautifully elegant experiment to test it. They artificially engineered a molecular hook.
A targeted fusion protein. I think it was called MAUF-GFP-FLIES.
Yes, exactly. Designed to latch onto the host bacterium's own DNA and physically drag it right up to the inner membrane, pinning it directly next to the SNIPE proteins.
They forced the collision?
They did.
And what happened? Did SNFPE cut the host DNA once it was brought into striking distance?
Nothing happened. SNFPE completely ignored it.
That completely flips the script on how we view this protein.
It means membrane-bound SEN4PA is incredibly disciplined. It isn't just blindly swinging its scissors at any genetic material that happens to float by.
It implies a sophisticated mechanism of auto-inhibition.
Right when SNFPE is anchored to the membrane in its resting state, it keeps its weapon locked down. The nucleus activity is suppressed.
It requires a highly specific mechanical trigger to activate, specifically the physical mechanics of an incoming phage forcefully injecting its DNA through the cellular boundary.
It is a stunning example of true spatial immunity.
So it only fires when a phage is actively breaking and entering. That brings us to how the researchers actually caught these scissors in the act.
The modern Hershey Chase experiment?
Yes, I completely geeked out over this part of the paper because they resurrected one of the most famous experiments in the history of molecular biology to prove it.
It's always thrilling to see classic methodologies adapted for modern structural questions.
For the listener, the original 1952 Hershey-Chase experiment used radioactive phosphorus 32 to prove once and for all that DNA, not protein, was the material that carried genetic information.
Right, and in this 2026 paper, the MIT researchers brought that classic radioactive labeling back to the bench.
They tagged the incoming phage DNA with radioactive phosphorus 32 and let the phages attack a colony of bacteria defended by SNIPE.
Now, normally, a healthy phage injects a massive pristine genome into the cell, something around 42,000 base pairs long.
But when they analyzed the radioactive signature inside the SNIPE-defended bacteria, they found a molecular massacre.
Instead of a pristine 42,000 base pair genome, they found a smeared mess of shattered DNA fragments.
And when we say shattered, we mean many of these fragments were less than 100 base pairs long.
SNIPE hadn't just made a single strategic cut to disable the virus. It had completely pulverized the viral genome into mononucleotides as it was crossing the threshold.
Let me stop you there, because the physics of that are baffling.
It is fast.
Yeah, the whole evolutionary purpose of a phage is to inject its DNA incredibly fast, like a biological syringe. How does SNIPE physically have the time to chop a 42,000 base pair sequence into fragments less than 100 base pairs long before the DNA just slips past it into the cytoplasm?
It speaks to the incredible catalytic efficiency of that GIYIG nuclease domain. It is firing at a staggering speed.
Just chewing it up.
The researchers supported this by using time-lapse microscopy to visualize the battle in real time.
With CFP PARB, right?
Yes, a tracking system that creates glowing fluorescent dots wherever phage DNA congregates.
So in a normal undefended cell, you see a single dot enter, and then suddenly the cell fills with dozens of glowing dots as the viral DNA replicates.
And then boom, the cell bursts.
But in the cells with SNIPE,
the phage is attached to the exterior, but those glowing dots barely even materialize inside.
The viral DNA is shredded so rapidly upon entry that it can't even form a visible mass.
The bacterial cells survive the injection event and continue to grow as if nothing happened.
But there is a massive loophole in this defense strategy. SNIPE is strictly a border patrol agent. It is not an internal police force.
Timing is everything. And the researchers prove this by looking at prophages, which are basically sleeper agents.
Exactly. A prophage is a virus that successfully injected its DNA in the past, and instead of immediately killing the cell, that viral DNA integrated itself silently into the bacterium's own chromosome.
It just hides there, replicating along with the host, waiting for a moment of cellular stress to awaken and strike.
Yeah. The researchers used a heat shock technique to artificially induce stress and suddenly wake up these hidden prophages from within these SNIPE-defended bacteria.
And SNIPE couldn't do a single thing to stop them.
Not a thing.
Because the viral DNA was already inside the house. It wasn't crossing the cell membrane, so it never triggered the spatial tripwire.
The hidden phage replicated, assembled new viral particles, and burst the cell normally, even though SNIPE was fully functional and sitting right there on the membrane.
SNIPE literally only guards the entryways. If the threat originates internally, the system is entirely blind to it.
Raises a huge logistical problem for the bacteria. If you're guarding a fortress, and that fortress has thousands of different transport channels, nutrient pumps, and pores,
how does SNIPE know which door the invader's going to use?
Does it just cover the membrane evenly and hope for the best?
To understand that, you have to look at how viruses actually operate. Viruses are the ultimate evolutionary hijackers.
They rarely possess the machinery to bore their own unique holes through a tough bacterial cell wall.
Instead, they pick the locks on the doors the bacterium already uses to survive.
In the case of this specific virus, phage lambda, it targets a vital bacterial sugar transporter called the mannose-permise complex.
I'll just call it the Mannoisy door.
Right, the bacterium needs Mannoisy to bring in nutrients.
And the phage parasitizes it, using it as a ready-made entry tunnel to inject its DNA.
So if the phage uses the Mannoisy door, how on earth did researchers prove SNIPE was standing right there waiting for it? You can't just take a photo of two microscopic proteins holding hands.
No, you can't. They use a brilliant proximity labeling technique called turboid.
Conceptually, I like to think of turboid as a microscopic can of biotin spray paint.
That's a perfect analogy for you listening. The researchers genetically attached this molecular spray paint directly to the Mannoisy door.
Once they activated the spray, any protein that physically stepped close to that specific door got permanently coated in biotin.
Then the researchers basically cracked the cells open, used a molecular magnet to pull out anything covered in that biotin spray paint, and checked the identities of the proteins to see who had been loitering near the transport channel.
And the results of that molecular stakeout were wild. Even before they introduced a single virus to the environment, they found SNIPE covered in the spray paint.
That means SNIPE doesn't just float around the membrane randomly. It proactively stations itself right next to the MANYZ complex.
It stakes out the exact door the virus is destined to use.
Then they ran the spray paint experiment a second time, but this time right in the middle of an active viral infection.
And that second stakeout gave them the smoking gun.
This time they caught three distinct components standing tightly together.
The SNIPE defense protein, the bacterial MANYZ door, and a crucial viral component called the tape measure protein.
We should clarify what the tape measure protein, or TMP, is, because it's not actually measuring anything in the traditional sense, right?
Right. The tape measure protein is essentially the needle of the phage's syringe.
The virus forces this protein through the bacterial membrane to create a temporary conduit for its DNA to travel through.
So the turboid experiment proved that SNIPE is waiting exactly at the targeted door.
And the split second, the virus shoves its needle through that door. SNIPE is perfectly positioned to grapple with it.
Here's where it gets really interesting. In evolutionary biology, if you build a better mouse trap, nature immediately gets to work building a smarter mouse.
Always.
The researchers wanted to see if a phage could figure out a way to outsmart this incredibly precise stakeout. So they introduced a mutant generalist phage into the mix.
Through random mutation over time, this specific generalist phage had evolved a new capability.
It figured out how to completely ignore the MANYZ door and inject its DNA using a totally different receptor on the outer membrane.
It bypassed the usual route entirely.
The ultimate flanking maneuver.
By skipping the MANYZ door where the SNE proteins were heavily concentrated, this generalist phage largely escaped the defense system.
It successfully infected the cells.
That experiment proved that SNIPE's strategy relies heavily on predicting exactly where the breach will occur.
If the enemy comes through the window instead of the front door, the trap fails.
But nature is rarely a one-trick pony. The researchers quickly realized that SNIPE isn't just hyper-fixated on that single MANYZ door.
Right, SNIPE actually provides a broad-spectrum defense against an entire major class of viruses known as cyphoviruses.
And it achieves this broad defense by interacting directly with the tape measure proteins of these diverse viruses, regardless of which specific bacterial door they happen to be hijacking at the time.
They proved this through a forced evolution experiment in the lab utilizing a different virus called the Bas14 phage.
When they first tested it, wild-type SNIPE offered only very weak protection against this Bas14 virus.
But the researchers didn't stop there. They decided to accelerate evolution. They used a technique called error-prone PCR.
For you listening, this is essentially a way to intentionally copy the SNPE gene sloppily.
It introduces random mutations, creating millions of slightly different variations of the SNIPE protein.
Then they threw the Bas14 virus at this massive library of mutant SNIPE proteins to see if any of them had accidentally stumbled into a better defense mechanism.
It is survival of the fittest sped up and isolated in a test tube.
Out of those millions of randomized variations, a few mutated SNIPE proteins emerged as absolute champions.
They provided 10 million times better protection against the Bas14 virus than the original version.
The critical finding came when the researchers sequenced the DNA of these super SNIPE proteins to see exactly what had changed.
Every single successful mutation had occurred in that middle DUF4041 domain.
The hands of the protein.
By randomly changing just a few amino acids, the hands had evolved a new shape that allowed them to grip the specific tape measure protein of the Bas14 virus much tighter.
And just to double check their work, the researchers let the Bas14 virus try to evolve an escape route to get around this new super strong SNIPE.
Every single time the virus successfully escaped, it had mutated its own tape measure protein to change its shape and slip out of SNIPE's grip.
It is a beautiful, undeniable confirmation that the hands of the SNIPE protein are actively reaching out and physically grappling with the virus's injection machinery.
And if you're wondering how widespread this microscopic trench warfare actually is, this system isn't just some freak anomaly found in one obscure lab strain of E. coli.
Not at all. The paper's bioinformatics data shows that SNIPE-like proteins exist in roughly 33% of all well-sequenced bacterial clades.
That is a massive chunk of the entire bacterial kingdom relying on this spatial defense strategy.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the evolutionary analysis of all these different SNAPE proteins scattered across the bacterial kingdom is where the genius of this system really shines.
When you look at the genetics across different species, the scissors part of the protein, the nucleus, is almost identical everywhere.
If a cutting tool is highly lethal and effective, evolution preserves it.
But the N-terminal region, that transmembrane anchor at the very front, is wildly variable.
It looks completely different depending on which bacterial species you examine.
In some bacteria, the anchor looks like a protein normally used for cell division.
In others, it looks like a protein used to secrete toxins.
The biological implication is that this anchor acts as a universal modular plug-and-play adapter.
A bacterium can take the standard SNIPE scissors and hands and simply swap out the anchor to attach the weapon system to whatever specific membrane structures the local phages in its unique environment are trying to exploit.
It's weaponized modularity. You just unclip the loaded gun from the front door and snap it onto the back window if that's where the burglars start breaking in.
Precisely. And that brings us to the central paradigm shift of this entire study.
The big so what?
For decades, our foundational knowledge of immune systems has been heavily dominated by the concept of complex pattern recognition.
Memorizing genetic sequences, actively checking for specific molecular signatures.
Scanning for foreign ID badges. But SNIPD proves that you don't always need complex computational databases to fight off a lethal infection.
Simple brute force spatial organization. Anchoring a highly lethal weapon at a specific physical threshold and auto-triggering it to cleave absolutely anything that forces its way across that boundary is a phenomenally effective strategy.
It is a previously unknown, radically simple way to solve the complex problem of distinguishing self from non-self.
It's the ultimate home defense strategy. You don't need to memorize the burglar's face if you just wire a trap to the window frame.
This raises an important question, though, and it's where the implications stretch far beyond microbiology.
Right.
We spent this entire time talking exclusively about single-celled bacteria defending themselves from phages. But evolutionary biology has a funny way of echoing itself across the tree of life, utilizing the same successful blueprints in wildly different organisms.
Exactly.
If simple bacteria figured out how to use spatial organization to defend their cellular membranes billions of years ago, is it possible that more complex organisms rely on similar physical tripwires?
I am so glad you're taking us there, because human biology actually has a striking conceptual parallel.
Oh, absolutely.
If you look at our own cells, we have defense mechanisms called interferon-induced transmembrane proteins, or IFITMs.
Right.
When our human cells sense they are under viral attack, say from an influenza virus, they rapidly produce these IFITMs.
These proteins embed themselves directly into our cellular membranes and physically block the viruses from fully entering the cytoplasm.
They trap the invaders right at the border, acting as a spatial barrier. Now, currently, our human IFITMs are just barricades.
They don't have built-in DNA scissors like SNAPE does to actually shred the virus.
But we're going to leave you with something to think about. If bacteria have spent 4 billion years perfecting the art of modular immunity,
snapping lethal molecular scissors directly onto their border guards to pulverize viral DNA the exact millisecond it tries to enter,
what does that mean for the future of human medicine? As we get better at genetic engineering, could we eventually design our own synthetic SNIPE-like proteins?
Think about what it would mean for the future of gene therapy if we could install an impenetrable auto-triggering border patrol on human cells.
A system designed to instantly slice up the genome of any virus the moment it tries to breach our membranes.
The microscopic world still has so many tricks left to teach us.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
In the hush behind the membrane, a small light waits. A sentinel with a jar of code and anchor to the inner wall. A foreign ribbon slides a silver string of borrowed fate. It meets the quiet partner at the manor store, measuring all. Fingers of a G-egg edge, a practiced literal knife. Tethered to the pulse of a tape, measure slow reply, poised to split the invading thread before it treads on life.
Cut the line, cleave the knife, keep the secret safe inside.
Gatekeeper's name sings low,
where the stranger's letters die.
Bright resolve in a tense hush, a small machine that learns to fight. From fractured strands and new dawn rising into life. We watch the scatter like starlight, fragments in a fleeting rain. Signals fell, parved ghosts retreated from the scene. Close and faithful to the membrane, partners bound in chain, resistance traced in shadows, a defense both swift and keen. The map is partial, hands still search the seam and join the dots. Questions hum beneath the calm, how the edges truly bind. But every cut rewrites the rule, a tiny proof that life protects its plot.
Cut the line, cleave the night, watch the strangers break and fall.
Gatekeeper Esme holds the shore,
where foreign codes are stored.
Tension loosens into hope, the inner wall remembers all. A quiet guardian keeps the line and answers freedom's call.